the truck. I keep my gun and butter on me, even in my prime. Always in the studio, I don't waste no time. What's up, everyone? This is the Edipal Talk, Season 2, Episode 4. I am David, DJ Dave K. This is
Ori Foodie on the Loose.
And we got a special guest, Bond.
What's up? What's up? Good to be here, y'all.
Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. We're super excited for your growth and everything going on. But before we start it, Bond, the rapper from the 6, spitting beats on sidewalks outside high schools to opening a show for Ice Cube. The man himself, Bond, with the 8 for infinity for impossibilities.
Woo!
Thank you,
man. Amen.
Amen.
But, so, you know, how it goes, it's an interview style. We're here, we're having a conversation, we're seeing how things go. But the first question that I have for you, and I was quite surprised he's not wearing one. How many different sunglasses do you have?
I knew you were going to ask that too. That's so funny, man. I got like 6-7 different pairs.
Okay.
But I have like 2 favorite ones that I always rock.
Okay.
And yeah, man, it's just part of the style. I like it. I like wearing them. But I just got new haircuts and like I was like, you know what? We'll come a little different today, a different like approach. So no glasses, but it's cool, man, you know?
It was funny because that was my other question. What happened with the haircut style from the first video to what you had when we met you and now you have? I like the style. The style is quite like, nice. It's very, true. You know, like.
You've always had good style. From the, from the first second I met you, I was like, this guy's got good style. He looks good. You know, the sunglasses are like what are like I'm like caught to, which I really like. But we're happy you're here, man. I'm really excited to get into this.
Thanks, man. Thank you. Thank you. But so what were you asking? You said, oh, the hairstyle?
That's the fit, the overall fit. Like, do you feel like the sunglasses are like an identifying factor for you? You think
like
it's something that really
there,
makes...
You know? It adds to the image, like you
for
said.
Sure.
It caught your eye, right?
It did catch my eye,
so,
literally.
Like, that's the whole point, you know? Like, you want to catch attention. Like, as an artist, you want people's attention, right? So you got to have like a unique style, a unique look to like, gravitate those people towards you. So the glasses help.
That makes a lot of sense because a lot of people, they just sing. But you also have, you kind of combining everything into your craft.
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
It's a whole, like, you know, like when you hear your artist and you see him too, right? Like, yo, okay, if you hear your favorite artist, you wonder what he looks like.
So, right.
Like, his look, like, does a lot to you. It's like, yo, if he looks, like, really, like, unique, you're like, wow, like, this guy's special. This guy's really cool. Like, so it's really important to, like, how you look, your image, everything. It's all hand in hand.
No, 100%. I mean, like everything. The one that I always like remember is oh my god, I just forgot the guy who's with I Spy the song Drake's boy who's with him.
No,
the other guy who's with him. Oh my god, why can't I remember his name? The guy with the dreads always with the little 6ix9ine has that look, right? Yeah. Like he has a crazy look. But oh my god, why can't I remember?
I can't remember either.
The song I Spy
Little Yachty.
Thank you.
Little Yachty,
right? Okay. He has the beat. So every time you see it, everyone sees it, they're like, that's him. And I think I really do like the glasses and your jackets and you have a fit, right? It kind of reminds me of like a Kid Laroi kind of like feel, right?
That's crazy.
But Kid Laroi, if you saw him recently, he has like all prosthetic and makeup and he's like, he looks totally like, he looked like a 50-year-old guy.
Well, listen, man, once you go to Hollywood, like it's different, right?
Exactly.
A lot of people that like do a lot of work on you, like, you know what I mean? Like your style, image, like makeup, all that.
Yeah.
Let's go. I got another question for you. You have a rhyme and rhythm. What got you into this passion?
What got me into music? I've been around music all my life, like since a kid. Like when I wake up, like the first thing I'd hear is like, "Hey Jude," like on speakers, like in the morning, like my mom would be playing like Beatles or she'd be playing ABBA. My dad grew up playing guitar. So like, it's like, I'd always just like listen to him, watch him play guitar. And like, my dad's like a big idol to me, right? So like subconsciously that probably planted a seed in me. Like the music is like really cool. Like, you know, that I really enjoy it. So like, I've always been around music all my life. I took piano lessons as a kid, like around like near like grade six, seven, grade eight. I played clarinet in school. Then around grade 10, I kind of like got into freestyling because a lot of my friends are rappers.
Okay.
And like that just became such a big habit, like of freestyling all the time. And like just as years progressed, like the freestyles would get really good. So like around grade 12, I was like, okay, like these freestyles are sick. Like I need to go make a song because like I want to hear myself back. So like I made my first song and I just fell in love with the process. Like it made me feel so good. Like made me feel at peace and just like something I love, you know, like I don't know, like anything in life, like when it comes to like school or tests, like I always feel like I need someone else's help. Like, you know, but when it came to music, like I didn't really need to copy anyone. I didn't need to ask anyone. Like it kind of just came to me, you know, like I felt like I didn't need no one's help. Like it just naturally is something I was good at.
So when you say freestyling, you just would go with your friends, like when you're going out or when you're like in your, I guess, like
an open mic.
An open mic? Like, would you go to like, seriously, would you go to like open mic stages and just record? Or did you write your own stuff as well?
Yeah, so it was just casual. It's like we would just be hanging out like in lunch or whatever, and like someone would have a speaker and they put a beat on YouTube. And like we would just like off the dome, like just like say whatever's on your mind, you know?
Okay, that's
that's really, that's put actually the beat really on. Cool. No, I'm sure we will at some point.
It's funny because when I was younger and I used to love rapping as well. I think for me when I was Eminem was, you know, for me was huge when going up, and then Tupac and Biggie and all that. That was my generation. And I used to love it, but then I just like kind of stopped. I don't know why. But I started like emceeing and becoming a DJ. So I was like, shit, let me go into that path. Like the music all kind of combines. It doesn't matter how anything can bring you to a path to somewhere. Yeah, right. 100%. And, but I love that it led you into being an artist and rapping and singing on your songs. I love
like
it.
Thousands of hours of freestyling. Like honestly, man,
that
like,
many hours you've been
honestly,
doing?
Yeah, yeah. Like if you go on my voice memos, like you're gonna see like literally like 1,000 voice memos, man. Like I've been like freestyling for like 5 years, like not like 6-7 years, man. Like I love it. Like for hours, man. Like me and my friends will just drive, like no destination in mind, like just play some beats on like a speaker and like just drive for hours and freestyle.
So do you mostly? Like so, you can freestyle. You can record your content anywhere you want, right? It doesn't have to be in a set studio.
Like just freestyling, yeah, anywhere. But like when I record, like you actually make a song like Fugazi or something. Like I'm in the studio. Like usually in my crib, like I have a home studio.
That's awesome. Really cool.
Yeah,
and
so I'm most comfortable. I find.
You know? Oh, cool.
You want to be comfortable when you're doing anything, right? Like because you want to like you don't want to feel like there's pressure, or, like time limitations or anything.
Exactly.
You just want to be at peace and at ease. And
I like that. Yeah. I think that's really cool. You want to be like when you're most calm.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of artists start off at home, right? They just, they buy the setup and they put the headphones and they go right into it because you don't need anything too crazy until you get into, you know, some crazy, like even, I'm trying to remember an artist, but there's huge artists that just started from home and you're like, oh, they must be in a studio. And all you see them is like with that foam thing that looks like this with the microphone and headphones, and they make all their music from home. Like, I can't believe huge artists are doing that. I think like KSI or something like that. I know he's in the UK and he's, you know, I still think it's crazy because like, for us, like, you know who KSI is?
Yeah,
the YouTuber, right?
I grew up watching KSI.
Yeah, so it's crazy because, like, KSI is a rapper, but I'm like, people are like, nah, he's not a rapper. I'm like, dude, he's working with these huge people, and he started off exactly in his bedroom. Yeah. And now he has records, he has millions of listens, and that's insane. And it's crazy that I guess I'm saying it, but like, Four Corners, I guess you've seen Four Corners as well. Right, he just hit 1 million listens a month. That's insane. Yeah. 1 million listens. How much do you know how much you're currently at?
I'm at like 1200.
1200. Yeah. Okay, that's dope.
It's a start. That's amazing.
You got it, dude. You're
I'm grateful for all 1200 people though, man.
It might have been 1300 now. I listened to all your songs at least like 10 times.
So we love your, like, you got a lot of really good sound. That's what I think is cool because you're lyrically really sound.
Thanks.
But you also have really good beats and music that's backing it. It's not just like you have a catchy sound, like it's catchy, and it's actually, if you listen to it very carefully, it's very well done.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Really, honestly.
But going back, like I used to record at studios first. Like, okay. I used to go to studios first.
Interesting.
But like, and then like, that's when I kind of like didn't like the feeling. I was like, oh, like I'm always on a time constraint. Like maybe this engineer is having a bad day today, so he's not going to give me his all. And like, So I was like, hey, like, I need to do this myself. Like, mm-hmm. So I have more time, more comfortable. Yeah. Just for people wondering, you know, like.
Yeah. I know. That's actually what I was going to ask. Yeah. Like, do you, when you actually, after you record your songs, who mixes it and who edits that music?
There's a guy called Will Wright, my homie. He's been mixing and mastering all my stuff. So, like, I'll record the crib and send it to him, and then he, like, finalizes it.
Oh, but awesome. do you give him like a certain type of outline of what you're looking for?
Like, I have like
the sound.
Yeah, I have like my own little mix when I'm at home. Like, I make it sound like to my preference. I'm like, this is like the general idea, and then like he just like
cool.
He just like amplifies it.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was kind of funny because Seeking, right? Yeah. Is that your first song?
It's my first song.
That's ever. Your first song, right? It was. I really like it. That's honestly, I think that's a banger. Like,
thank you.
I was like listening to them, like this, that one, The Weeknd, Fugazi. I'm like,
it's those are really good songs.
Yeah. What was it? Switch as well. Like, I like how you started off Switch. You're like, you know, everyone who wanted, like, you know, who didn't believe in me, and now they're all coming back and whatever. And that's exactly. It's like it's people always do that, right? Because like no one knows you. And then like a good example, there was a guy, right? The guy who won $1 million or whatever, $7 million.
He's crazy.
He won $7 million, didn't tell anyone. Mm-hmm. But then he told all his friends, right? He's like, hey man, I really need money. I need $500. I need $5,000.
$5,000 to every single
whatever.
Person.
And every single person told him, sorry, I can't help you. Except fuck like, you. Whatever, right? I think one person came back and said, hey, let me send it to you. I know you're in trouble. Let me help you. Uh-huh. His family. So then he finally announced, I want $7 million.
Wow.
Everyone didn't even come back to him and ask him for money because they knew that when he needed it, everyone think.
Wow.
But the one person he did, I think he gave $100,000. You makes know, and sense. It's like, and but it's crazy because like I know if I ask him right now, he'll give me $4,000 or $2,000 if I really need it, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't. I got to pay for rent, whatever, right?
Good,
I'll
man.
Be able.
It's good to have friends
but,
like that.
Exactly, but most of the times, like you'll never have. And I love also you have a really cool crew, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess part of that whole crew and everything like that from your first video, I'm guessing you had your crew built up.
Yeah.
And
it's the same people.
It's the same people, right? So what I wanted to ask is, I know it's kind of random, but you filming at their Mercedes dealership and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Was that after the night, you know, trying to make things work?
Yeah. So like that was the first music video. And like, so I hit up Zokai, like my videographer, my guy. Shout out Zokai. Honestly, like one of the best like humans you'll ever meet, man. Like, this guy's so innocent, bro. Like, he's just a really good, genuine person. Like,
awesome.
He filmed my stuff all for free when I met him. Like,
amazing.
Yeah, I literally, like, I was in a studio, and, like, I was in one room, and he was in another room. I guess when I was just starting out, and there was, like, seven people in that room he was with. And, like, me, man, like, I like to network. I like to talk to people. So, I just ran in, I just knocked on the door. I'm like, hey, guys, what's up? My name's Bond. Like, I'm an artist. Like, I see there's so many of you here. I just wanted to say hi. So, Zokai was in that room. We talked. And then, like, he's like, yo, like, I want to film a music video. Like, I'm just getting into it. So I had the song Seeking. He pulled up to my house. I was like, listen, there's a park nearby. Like, we can go film it in the park real quick. Like, spontaneously filmed it in the park. And then we're like, okay, like, we need a new spot. And, like, in the song, I talk, drive a Honda, want a Benzo.
Right.
So I was like, yo, there's a Benz dealership, like, down the street. I was like,
I love that.
I was like, we can go film there real quick. And then we did that.
It made it seem like he
how had did you on. Film it? That you like, hey, how are you? Can I film?
Or? No,
he just went there just, at night and just did it. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
We don't really ask for shit. We just do it, man.
And you did it in Yorkville as well, right? That was part of the
it was in Steels. On Steels, like on Young and Steels.
Nice.
Oh, that was filmed at Young and Steels?
Yeah.
But I thought part of that video had because it was in Yorkville, or is that another video?
That was a different video.
Okay, yeah. So all that was all in the I thought there was like some swaps, but I might be mistaken.
It's really cool that like from the get go, you first of all had your posse, your crew, and I feel like maybe they can speak on your behalf, but like I feel like they've supported you and they really vibe with what you're producing already before you become very famous.
Yeah.
But also the fact that like you're already shooting your videos, you're going to go up and up and up. It's just a matter of time until you actually get there. And the fact that you have your videographer come with you and he's like.
We direct it together too. Like, you know, I help and I direct and I edit. Like,
okay.
Come up with all the ideas. It's so cool.
So I think that's like the question that we had. Like, what gives you the inspiration for these like videos? Like, so that's cool that like, because you said like, you know, you drive a Benzo, right?
Yeah.
So is that, so do you just go on the fly when you make these videos or how does that kind of like?
So like sometimes like if there's like a perfect like pitch, like drive a Honda on a Benzo, I'll pull up to the Mercedes dealership or like for the hits in the vault.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I got a whole bank vault.
I saw that.
I got the whole vault. You know, it's like I try to kind of put the themes together. And usually when I'm making a song, like I visualize like the music video sometimes while I'm making it.
Wow.
Yeah. So like
that's hard to do because a lot of times people can't like see the picture and you have it already ingrained in your head while you're making the song. I think that's so cool. That basically like how do you find the ideas? Like how do you come up with it?
Man, like I feel like I've heard like some of my favorite artists say, and it's kind of true. It's like, you know, like we're just kind of vessels and like these like ideas and things just come from like a higher source, and like you kind of just had to have like good antennas to be able to like just receive them and like know what to do with them. So like it comes just like being pure with yourself, you know, like that's a huge thing for me. Like I always try to be like the best version I could be, like be as pure as I could be, because like that way I know like I'll be able to like receive these kind of like things, like these ideas and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's like good energy, good karma, because that's how I look at it, right? Mm-hmm. For me, it's like I'll do 10 good things, but if one good thing comes back to 9 people, I know I did something good. Mm-hmm. It'll come back. And the funny thing is, for the bank vault, I was like, I was thinking that you filmed it in Montreal. Have you ever been to that club? There's a club that's a bank vault. Wow. You walk through like this narrow hallway, like it's a big ass door that they open. It's a narrow hallway, and there's a huge club. So I was there recently in September for my birthday, for my sister, and we were there for Backstreet Boys and whatever. But we went there, and it was a sick time. So I was like, I was like, if you ever go to Montreal, you gotta film there, because you go into this like RBC huge like thing, and then you go into the basement into a private vault. And I think that would be pretty cool. Like that if you're going to a club, like just for a vlog or something, or if you can work with that club and make a video. I think it's called the bank vault, funny enough.
That's sick.
So that might be a perfect place.
Yeah. It was here at One King West Hotel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so they have a
vault there. Yeah, I guess it used to be a bank, apparently.
Is it the one that the restaurant, the right? Is that the restaurant now?
Used to be, right?
Yeah.
Like, wow. Do you, because of your videos and all the stuff that you've done, do you find that people are reaching out to you now to come to like my place or my store, or my restaurant, just so they can feature you or show off their merchandise in their places?
Yeah, I've had a couple like studios hit me up saying, "Yeah, we want to record with you. Like, we want you to come use our facilities." And I really appreciate that. Yeah, because like before, like we used to ask a lot of shit, but like no one gave us nothing, you know?
And right.
So it's like everyone's just switched up when they see you grow, right?
It happens a lot. Like even for me, when I do my food stuff, like. A lot of times they'll reach out to me and they're like, "Oh, can you drive to Scarborough for bubble tea at 4 p.m. on a Monday?" And I'm like, "No, I really don't want to go that far." And it's not because they don't want it. It's just like sometimes they're asking a lot. Like we want like 17 stories, 5 Instagram reels. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, my time is very valuable to me.
Yeah,
I like that like when you put your, like, I'm happy to contribute. And I do still contribute to a lot of businesses. But like right now we're like, as soon as you start growing and people start seeing that you're, you know, going up, they'll try and take advantage of you.
Yeah.
And that's why I think you're like very clear on what you want, which is cool.
Thanks, man. It's good you say, like, you know, I got to value yourself. It's like, if you don't respect yourself, you don't value yourself, no one else will, right?
Right.
And that aura like radiates everywhere you go. Like,
so true.
So yeah, it's good. It's good you value yourself, man. As you should, everyone should value
yourself. It's true. You gotta know your worth, and you know your worth. Yeah. Which is what I think is really important.
Yeah.
So Bond.
Yes, sir.
What got you on the map? Right? This was the thing that this is where you go to everyone. Everyone, you're like, "Yo, did you know I did this?" And you're like, "What?" You went to, what was it? Lukel as well. And you like, when we first met you and when we met your manager, the first thing you said is you performed around the city. You went to every Ontario school. You performed at over 40 high schools.
60
now.
Yeah.
Woo! It was 40. That's all I know. So now 60. We got 60 up here. So what gave you the idea? Like what, how did that make you want to, you know, start?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool story, man. So shout out to my bro, M. He like kind of encouraged me to go perform at Young and Dundas.
Oh, okay.
He was like, "Yo, like just go do it, man. Like you got nothing to lose." And like, I was kind of like, but he really pushed me, you know, like M really pushes me to like to myself. So, like,
I love that.
It's honestly, it's a blessing. So we went downtown, we copped a little speaker, just bought it for the day because we were going to return it, get our money back.
Hilarious. Yeah. Oh my God. I love it.
So, so we're performing and it went really well, man. Like people really liked it. Like besides like a couple like homeless people off drugs, like bothering us, like it was really good, you know? And so like, we're like, okay, that was cool. The next day comes around, we link up, we're on our way to return the speaker. My little cousin calls me. He's like, "Yo, I'm late to school." He's like, "I'm late to school." He's like, "Can you give me a ride?" So I'm with M. We have the speaker in the back. I'm like, "Yeah, we'll pick you up. Like, drive you to school."
Okay.
So we pick him up. We drive him to school. It's like lunchtime. We drop him off at the Pizza Pizza. There's like 50 kids there.
Okay.
And I'm like, listen, like, I'm a performer now. I was like, cause like, I performed for no one. Like, I've done that. It's random. So I was like, these kids probably will really like it. Like, this is my target demographic.
Right.
So I just quickly parked the car, took the speaker out. I'm like, yo, yo, what's up, everyone? Like, I'm going to do like rap for y'all real quick. And I just played a couple songs, man. And they loved it, man. Like, it went crazy. And like, right then and there, we're like, okay, listen, we got to go to new school tomorrow. Like, this is crazy. Like, that was insane, you know?
Okay.
And that's how it all started. And then we just kept going school to school to school. And like, the journey has been wild. Like, cause we never call the school. We just pull up.
Yeah.
So we get in like a lot of like altercations with like the principals, like sometimes police, like it's wild, you know, but like sometimes
public, no? So a lot
that's,
of time
that's what I
public.
Do. Yeah. So that's always my story. I'm like, listen, this is a public style. Like, you know, you can't really do anything. But they're like, yo, we're going to call the police. So like some principals like trip out, like they unplug my speaker.
Oh,
they,
wow.
Like, they even like threw it to the floor a couple times. Like they'll like ask students to come and like disrupt me and stuff. Like, but like there's a couple of haters.
No, well, I mean, that's going to happen, right? 100%. Everywhere throughout things, people are going to try to push you down.
Yeah.
It's a way how you come back, right?
Yeah. Like, but there's been way more love.
Yeah.
It's so true. But like, did you do it during a time when it was COVID? Like, were you able to? Because how did you?
2021. It was like just post pandemic. Like,
oh, wow. So yeah. People were like, actually, I feel like when I think of it, if I'm a student in school and I'm like kind of sad that like I don't have much of a social life anymore because of post-pandemic world, so yeah. It's so messed up.
Yeah,
I think that you're kind of bringing them a little bit of inspiration and hope. I think that's like what really struck a chord with me is that you're literally showing people that you can be happy and there's like other joy involved with your music. And you're going to 60 different schools. I thought it was only 40. Now it's 60.
Yeah, we did a lot. Like every day.
That's amazing.
No, because like it's crazy. I saw the videos and people are just jamming, right? Like it's crazy because like if somebody comes perform, I'm like, I'm gonna show respect. I'm like, hey.
Yeah. Would they like, would you ever go back to the same school that gave you a lot of love?
I went to like one school twice, but like it was all right. Like, you know, I feel like the first time it's kind of shock factor, like what's happening, you know? So like I usually try to go to every school just once, just to keep it exclusive.
And what was your favorite school? I guess that's a good question.
It's a good question, man. Honestly, like there's two schools. I think it was Don Mills. It was like like smaller crowd, maybe like 50, 70 kids, but like the energy was just on point, man.
I like how he's like 50, 70 school people. Like I'm like most people can't get 10 people to there.
Yeah, literally,
it's like you have some mosh pit sometimes. Yeah, like, people are like actually properly vibing in it. It's so cool.
Yeah, the mosh pit was insane, man. They're like, yo, run it back. And they're like throwing water in the air and like just going nuts. Also, Earl Haig was crazy too. There was like 1,000 kids at that show.
1,000?
Like, because we pulled up and like that school has like 3,000 people.
So, and like a recess or something?
Like, yeah, like we pulled up when the school bell rings. Like when school's done. Well, that way it's like we're not disrupting anyone. Like you can stay, you can leave, like, you know?
Did you ever get invited as a guest to actually perform? Because that would be really cool. If I'm a principal, because some of them are going to be like, we don't want you to come here, you're disrupting the kids. But like the ones that's like down to see you perform would probably want to have you perform actually in front of an auditorium full of kids.
No, I haven't, unfortunately.
You know what's crazy? I know I just thought of it, but have you went back to your school that you went to, the high school?
I did.
And I think that would be really cool if you can, exactly what he was just saying. Like if you can talk to the principal and be like, hey, I started here and give those kids inspiration.
Yeah.
Because some of them might just be, you know, another Richmond Hill.
Reach out to like the student executive, like the president of the executive committee of the students.
Yeah.
And be like, and they can pitch it because they're really the ones that are.
I mean, you could do it for free or you could, they always have a budget, right? Most of these schools, because they need performances, they want to do activities, stuff like that. And I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. And then when you're really rich and famous, you'll be like, actually, I charge this much money. I'm sorry.
No, it'd be cool, man. I'd love to inspire people. Like, it's a blessing to inspire people. Like, a lot of people, like, throughout those shows would message me, like, hey, man, like, you know, like, you made my week, you made my day, like, you inspired me to do this.
I love that.
And, like, you know, that's like God's work. Like, if I could, like, a positive impact on these people's lives, like that's a good thing. You know, there's a lot of bad things going on in this world, a lot of messed up shit.
Yeah.
So like if you can be like that beacon of like positivity, beacon of like enlightenment, like you know, that's a good thing, man.
Just being that, like one, he knows that I know whenever we post content, people are like, oh my God, like I was so happy this happened. Like you like either from the food side, because it's crazy because even now, like, oh, that was kind of a question that we had. Like we started getting noticed right on the streets and stuff like that. And I'm like, who are you? Like, you know, and the guy's like, hey, sorry. Like it was recent. I had one. And the guy's like, hey, I'm not trying to be weird, but like, you know, I follow Foodie, but I see you and I love your content. But so has that created like a buzz for you around Toronto? Like people are noticing you?
Honestly, I started like not like to sound cocky, but usually everywhere I go, someone will notice me, man.
Okay, yeah, that's dope.
It's cool. I appreciate it. You know, like, it means the word is getting around. So that's a good thing.
You're going in the right direction. Like, it's only been positive. From the second you walked in here, it's been positive because I can, like, just even you're smiling right now, it's, like, true. Like, you are genuinely, like, it's like when you're given that good karma, you're given that good energy, you will succeed.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's what you give out of as an aura or mm-hmm. as an energy that is just, you know, positivity.
Yeah, sweet.
But so this is kind of the midpoint.
Yeah,
and what we want to do is we want to feed you. Okay. So currently on every episode, we always have a food. Sometimes it's sponsored. Today it's not, but we wanted to support, you know, Canadian. We always like to support local Canadian food places. So today is A&W.
Okay.
We always have Tim Hortons and Timbits and whatever, but today is A&W because I feel like, so two things. One, when I thought of it, I'm like, oh, that's like, you know, I feel like that's your era, right? People are like going to A&W for food, late night, whatever. Oh, sorry. My apologies. Of course, my phone is the one on mute. but also, I want to get your review because, you know, review views here and there.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's get that set up. What's up, everyone? So we're back. We got food in front of us. We got the A&W. We got the classic Buddy Burger. We got some fries and we got some chicken nuggets. Okay. But Bond brought his crew along. So you know what, boys? If you guys want to jump in, come in the back here.
Come back, join
if
us.
You can, slide in. Don't touch the lights.
Jump over the light, please. Yeah. All right, we're going to do a little.
So if you don't know, you should go check his vlogs out. But they always do reviews. When they were in Waterloo, they went to some pizza, Yola, Pepe's, whatever,
Pepe's pizza.
And do not go to Pepe's. Sorry. Pepe, do better. We don't want frozen pizzas over here, okay? Yeah, So let's all take a bite out of the burger. Okay. And I want everyone to give a rating. Sorry, it's a little cold, you know, time. One day we'll get a little oven, but, you know, we'll all give a
cheers,
review.
Guys.
Cheers.
Okay. Cheers. So what is this, a Buddy Burger?
Mm-hmm. Mm. I feel like it's a classic, right?
The caramelized onions, though, man.
I think that gives a little, like, next level. Oh, shit, I have a lot of, I was like, when you looked at me, I'm like, what? I'm like, it all went all over my beard.
I'd give it, like,
if it wasn't cold, of course.
No, I'd give it, like, 6 out of 10, man.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
You know, listen, bro, we eat a lot of A&W here. That's, like, the only thing open 24/7, you know?
And Tim Hortons, but I don't like going to Tim Hortons
at 4
in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of their. They have the
flatbread. Yeah, they don't have anything.
Not the best.
They have that flatbread.
Yeah.
Do you go to the one on Bathurst and Steeles, that gas station? Yeah, I drive by there all the
so
time.
So bad.
It's 24 hours. I'm like, yeah, I used to go to the one on Highway 7. And
what's your review?
Maybe like 7.5.
Okay, cool.
Bro, I can't do A&W dirty, so like, I'm going to give it like a. I'm going to give it 10 out of 10.
No way.
Sorry. Could you say that again? What
did
you say?
7.5.
Okay. And you said it was six.
I think for me, it's a 7, honestly.
Honestly, I'll tell you one thing.
Can we go back, though? 10 out of 10, bro?
Whoa.
I can't do A&W
30,
bro. Okay.
So that's what I was going to say. I'm going to give A&W a 10 out of 10 as
whoa,
well.
Bro.
The reason is, I'll tell you two things. Sorry.
No
mic. That just was a
10 out of 10 is crazy, bro. 10 out of 10 is like South Bay, like stick out, like you know, like.
But you got to remember one thing, right? The reason why it's 10 out of 10, first of all, this is like fast food, like, and the pricing, right? Yeah. When you like, would you want McDonald's or Burger King over this? No. You taste the meat, you taste the veggies, you taste the bread. The other one, whenever I chew into it, it just feels like
nothing.
It's like, is it really food?
Yeah.
But yeah,
like gourmet fast food, you're trying to say, right?
It's not fast food. There's that word for
casual.
It.
It's casual fast food.
Grass fed. And funny enough, we got a second piece. We got the chicken nuggets as well. I want everyone, because they just released it about a month or two ago, and they usually have chicken fingers, but you know, so right now I think the basis, you gave it a 6, he gave it a 7.5. What'd you give
7.
You gave it a 7, a 10. I think we're somewhere around the 7.5, 8 range. So
you're still a 10, don't worry. You're still a 10.
Also, we didn't get to introduce them, and that's my apologies. If you guys want to introduce your, oh, well, you know what?
Allow me to introduce you guys. Oh, this is my team. It's my friends, my best friends, man. This is M, my manager, my friend, always pushing me to new heights. It's my boy Sly, man, supporting me since day one, coming on my shows, like helping with the music too. I really couldn't ask for a better crew, so make sure you give them a follow. M4_fitness. Shaheen_.
Yeah,
SH. There you go. And that's my team, man.
So again, if you guys don't know, he's the hard critic. So whatever he gives it is usually the thing. And then Bond is somewhere in the middle, and then he always gives it the high. So you find the middle ground. Average the score out.
How was the frozen pizza? Oh, no.
That was terrible. Okay, I really want to know how, like, what happened to that pizza?
That was so bad.
Like, what happened?
Bro, it just tasted like worse than frozen pizza.
Oh,
like,
man.
It was fresh, but it was like frozen.
Was it the sauce? Was it the bread? Or just everything?
Did you tell them or no?
No, we didn't have the heart.
The heart? Was it free?
No. It was the opposite. It was expensive, man.
It was like $45.
For two pizzas?
Yeah.
I can't, you know, whenever I see that, like, we are very critical because we've been to so many food places in Toronto, and I'm straight up, like, I just went to a place, if you saw it on my Instagram, I rated a 2 out of 10. Like, it was that bad. Like, again, the Yonge and Bloor location for that pulled noodles, I was like, yeah, pulled noodles, late night, it's going to be good. It was not good, I'll tell you that. It did not, it was...
David wants Four Seasons quality. But maybe
A&W pricing.
It's hard to come by. Honestly, it's true. A lot of countries around the world, I don't know, go abroad, and it's like, you know, you pay for A&W pricing and you get really good quality food. Yeah. Sometimes the food in Toronto can be very expensive and it's not like the best food.
It's usually not the best food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So much.
What's the best place you guys ever been to eat?
In the world, or in Canada?
Oh, okay, you travel a lot. In Canada. In Toronto, yeah. One of the best places.
I like Mamaka's Taverna. It's very expensive. It's on Ossington. It's a Greek restaurant. It's a high-end restaurant. Canoe, also a very fancy restaurant. It's in the TD building. It's like the 50th floor.
If you're looking
very
to spend $200 a person.
Yeah, if you want to spend
that's what he's saying. The places that he's saying is expensive. Like, you got to spend an arm and a leg to go
in. But if you want like really good, cheap food, there's a pho place on Ossington called Pho Tien Tien. It's a pink like interior and there's always a lineup. It's like $15 for an amazing pho. Highly recommend it. It's really good quality, good value if you like that kind of food.
Yeah, 100%. Who doesn't like pho?
My favorite place, my boys always after the club, we always go. There's this 24-hour pho place on Dundas and Spadina.
Okay.
And it's been there forever. If you go there at 3 a.m., 4 in the morning, it's packed.
Wow.
They only accept cash.
Makes sense. Cash is king, man. Cash is king.
Cash is king. But yeah, no, it's a dope place. It's not the best, but I like that place because like a little homey place that I always think about. Like my boys after DJing or whoever's coming in, they're like, what can we eat at 4 a.m. after the club?
Yeah.
And that place is usually the place. Or it's A&W. You're the person that pushes him and you're the one who puts him out of his comfort zone. So what gave you... How did it all start? Yeah.
We were just, you know, like, we're just good friends. And, like, I know him since, we know each other since we're young. And we just, I don't know, like, shit, just one thing led to another, kind of, like, you know, like, he started rapping and we just started performing at Dundas Square and then schools and then, like, I don't know. Just one thing led to another.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you always need someone who can have your back. And if you have your boys, like, I think it's to have your crew around you. You know, just like Drake says, crew, like crew love. It's super important, right? And
my crew is full of, like, no men. We don't have yes men. You know, like, it's really, like, no men in my crew. So it's like, when they say yes, I know it's like, okay, like, it's a for sure yes. It's a certain yes. So I feel like a lot of people need, like, don't have real friends. I actually tell them, yo, like, that's trash. Like, that's good. Like, you know, so it's like I'm really grateful for like honest people, you know.
Right.
So do you push him to be a better individual, like a better person, better artist?
He's a good person, man, you know, but like
better artist for sure, man.
Better artist.
You're a good person. I'm not going against your character. I'm saying, as a better individual.
But if he makes like something that's like some kind of music that's like not good, you know, like I'll tell him, I'll be like, bro, this is trash.
That's fair.
Straight up.
Yeah. No, but you got to have that honest friend that's looking out for you.
Because most people, they're like, yo, this is fire. This is good.
And yeah.
I'm like, yo, this is good.
So when you first heard Fugazi, where you're like, ah, this is Fugazi.
what's your favorite song he's ever produced?
Oh, that's a good one.
So far.
Definitely On the Weekend.
Weekend, okay.
On the Weekend.
That's one of mine, too.
Yeah,
it's sweet.
It was funny. I'm like, this is the weekend. So I was like, I was like, oh shit. I'm like, we should have that as the background song.
The intro.
Good. Should.
Yeah, cool. But yeah, aside from that, thank you guys. I don't want to hold you guys here. We will continue the interview.
So we want to know, who gives you inspiration for your music currently? How did you get that inspiration?
Who gives me inspiration? I feel like I always try to inspire myself. Like, I'm always trying to one-up myself. Like, that's my biggest thing. Like, I always just try to be better and better every day, like 1%. Like, I'm always trying to make a better song. And but there's tons of artists, you know, like, every day, like, on Instagram, TikTok, you see, like, talented people on your feed all day.
Right.
So, like, there's a lot of, like, random artists you just see that inspire me. Like, I see content that inspires me. But usually it's life situations. Like, on the weekend, like, you know, I had a girl come over and we had a good weekend. And, like, that, like, all that thing just inspired the whole song. So it's usually, like, it's experiences that inspire me. And, like, my friends and family. Like, you know, it's, like, it's not just me anymore. It's not just me making music for myself. Like, I have people waiting on me. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's that kind of push. It's like, hey, like, these people are waiting on me. Like, I would look foolish if I didn't keep going. You know what I mean?
It's funny. It's funny that you say that, because some of your songs come from heartbreak, I'm guessing as well, right? Yeah. Like everything from Misunderstood, another one, Moonchild, things like that. So that's funny that you said they had the weekend. So has those songs, like, did you go through heartbreak? Is that why these songs are created?
Everything you hear is real, man. Like, it's all like real life stories.
Right.
So wow. Yeah, like my first heartbreak was maybe around like what, 18, 19 with like my first girlfriend. Like I like broke up with her, but like it just hit me in the ass later. Like I felt like ways about it. I felt really down about it. And that's when music kind of came through too. Like when I'd make music, like I wouldn't think about anything negative. Like I'd feel like in the moment, I'd always like dwell on the past, you know, after my breakup. But like music made me, But music made me like present and like made me optimistic for like the future and everything.
I love that. Yeah. You always have to I went through a breakup too. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is find something that you can put dedication, like put your mind to and dedication. And for me, it's my content, right? Yeah. My content, my creation, my art, right? And that's like, I think it doesn't matter if you're an artist, if you're a food video reviewer, if you're entertainment media, we're all in the same because it's all some sort of art, right? And you have to entertain someone in the end.
Yeah.
So, and then those are good ways for you to, you know, release any other, you know, sadness, anger, happiness, or whatever. Right? And it just helps you grow. And the biggest thing for me is connect. As you said, you love connecting with people, and with connecting people, you'll meet new people. Like, as you said, like we talked in the beginning, putting out good energy, you'll start meeting, you know, other people who match your like aura energy, your output out there.
And also the fact that you're like, you've gone through these heartbreaks. Maybe someone, one of your listeners or followers is also experiencing heartbreak or going through family trauma issues.
Yeah.
And if you've had that yourself and you've taught your like rapping about it and you're singing about it, I think people can actually identify with that as well a lot more. And your music is projecting that, which is really pretty interesting.
Yeah. Me. People tell me like they hear like the genuineness in my music. So it's always good, you know, they can tell. So
do you have a crew that you go around with that are really supportive of you? Do you also have like family? Are they there for you, or your parents are not supportive of you?
Oh man, my parents are my biggest fans.
Wow.
Yeah, like
I love that.
It's crazy, man. It's like sometimes I walk into my crib and like my mom's playing like Keep and Rolling in one room, and then my dad's in his room listening to like On the Weekend. It's like I literally hear like two songs of mine playing when I walk in the house. And like my dad, every day when I see him, he's like, "What's new with the music?" He's like, "Any new listeners?
I
any
love
new
comments?" That.
He loves my music, man. Like, you know, he loves it to the max. That's my mom's super supportive. She loves it too. Like, they all, like, even my mom will message me like, "Oh, like I think you should make a video like this." Like,
oh wow, so even ideas. creativeness as well. I love that.
Yeah, my mom's like a really good marketer.
Okay,
so she's really cool with that. You know, she knows what looks good, how to feel.
Have they seen you perform?
Yeah. My mom came to my first sold out show on September 4th, Lavish Nights, and she was crying, man. She couldn't believe it, you know. But she seen me perform. And my dad seen me one time perform for a high school. He literally gave me a ride to one of my high school shows one time.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Em, where you at? He's like, "Nah, I'm sleeping tonight." But no, that's dope. So I guess since you brought Lavish Nights, sold out show. Congrats, my brother. That was only 6 months ago. We love that.
Yeah.
And hearing about that, I saw the crew there. The people out there were like, pumping. Mm-hmm. They were going crazy. And I love that projector in the background. It looks sick. If you haven't seen, I think that's your vlog, first vlog, right?
Yeah.
So my question is, how many people were there? Like, what are like
160,
that, 160
yeah.
people. That's whack.
And like,
that's crazy.
Mind you, I sold every ticket myself.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. There was openers, but they didn't do shit.
Really?
Yeah, I just put them on because like I couldn't perform the whole night, right? So like, I needed like
to yeah, of course.
But, yeah. How long were you performing for, actually?
Like an hour, 45 minutes, maybe 45 minutes an hour, something like that.
That's awesome.
Do you find it was like, were you nervous? Like, do you have that like kind of, I don't know, maybe butterflies in your stomach?
You know, the first show I ever did was at Luxie Nightclub, and
oh,
going up to it, like, yeah, I felt nervous, but like it felt right. You know, I felt like what I was supposed to do. Like, it, you know, just because I always imagined it, I always dreamt about performance. When I did it, I was like, okay, like this is it. Like, this is that feeling. It feels good. And you know, you get a little bit nervous, but nah, man, I love it. Like, once I get on there, like, it just flows naturally. Like, I don't have to overthink shit. Like, it's all good.
Yeah, something that stuck with me, what you said earlier, it's like when you're in your studio, you feel kind of calm.
Yeah.
I feel like you are the same. I mean, you have more energy, obviously, because you're performing in front of people, but you're still very calm when you're performing in front of a large audience. And I think that's like, I get nervous when I public speak, and singing is public speaking. Like, it's very difficult. Yeah. Like, the fact that you're, like, in the element is really cool, and a lot of artists I find have difficulty getting into the element, and you already in the element.
Yeah, like a lot of them are, as they say, bedroom or basement artists or DJs. They always, that's always used as an example, right? But you're out there pushing, and I love that, because the only way you can know being out there and getting critique is being out there and seeing other people, and 160 people, that's huge. Like, dude, if you've never, if like I used to be a promoter or things like that, so I understand how much 160 tickets to sell. That's not easy. Mm-hmm. Selling 20, 30, 50, you're like, oh, okay, that's good. Yeah. But 160, that's some very impressive.
And a lot of like, good supporters. People like to support, you know?
I love that.
And it comes back to like being a kind and good person. Like, I'm kind to most people I meet, man. Like, if you show me respect, like, I'll show you respect. And
of course.
Even if like you diss me, like, I won't say nothing back. Like, I'm not holding no grudges. But I treat people really well. And I think like, it's like, if I was a dick all my life, like, and I was like, yo, come to my show. People are like, nah, like, I don't, like, why would I come to your show? You never like treated me with like kindness, respect. But like that, like doing that, like they all like came to support, it comes back tenfold, you know?
Yeah, I think when we met you at Off the Saints Party, his big gala release, we vibed. We talked for like 30 minutes. I remember we were talking for so long. I was like, oh man, we got to start talking to other people. I was like, there's so, because there's 400 people there, right? Oh, yeah. And it's like to like connect with everyone. It was just a bunch of different things.
Shout out Off the Saints.
I know. Off the Saints. He's going to be, he was supposed to be on the show, but then he went on his tour and we had to cancel. What happened again? I can't remember. But
he'll come around.
Too busy. Exactly.
He'll come around.
We got some things planned with him.
So what are some of the other locations that you perform? Like, where was like your, maybe your highlight or?
So some of the best places. So Supermarket and Kensington Market.
Okay.
That was where like the sold out show was, Lavish Nights. Opera House. We did Elements Nightclub Kitchener, like for Ice Cube. And then we did Brass Monkeys for Tony Yayo in Ottawa.
Right.
And yeah, those are probably like my best stages I've touched, I'd say, so far.
So how does someone find you? Like, is it for Tony Yayo in Ottawa, did they say, hey, oh, you're an up-and-coming artist, come to Ottawa, perform? How did you get that?
I just reached out, you know, like, yeah, I like spend a lot of time on Instagram, just like contacting people, like sharing them my EPK kit. If they like what they see, they'll be like, yeah, man, come open, come perform.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
You got the drive, man. Like, you got the drive. I think it's awesome. You literally drove to Ottawa and had a vlog. I loved it. It was so good.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad you enjoyed.
It was, even people were vibing with your music. I saw the audience, and like, you brought one guy on stage as well.
I love doing that.
It's always, and then there was that girl, what was it, from the Opera House. I guess the funny thing from the Opera House with Luke Kells, like, what did you feel with the conversation with him? Because you're, you know, like, you got like a behind the scenes with him, you're able to chill with him. And then was there anything that inspired you from that convo?
I just took away, like, you know, he's so humble, man. Like, this guy's like reached heights that like millions of people want to reach, right? And he's so genuine. Like, he'll just talk to like a normal person, like, you're like, let me hold his chains, whatever. Like, you just like treat me like anyone else. You know what I mean?
And right.
I think that was like really eye opening. Cause like sometimes, like, you know, you get these like milestones and you feel ways. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, like, you know, you feel like that guy. And that's a good feeling. But it reminded me just to stay humble. You know what I mean? And just like, no matter how big you get, like, we're all just people at the end of the day.
So I gotta ask, because you were offering him jerk chicken because you're a vegan, but then he's like, you know, next time, right? What do you have to get him?
I gotta get him some
fried chicken. But yeah, so I wanted to know, I guess, to bring it up, because I was like, I'm like, oh shit, should I get you a Beyond Burger from A&W? But then in your most recent, you had some shrimp and stuff. Yeah. So what brought you on that switch?
Yeah, so I went plant based for 2 years just to like kind of like experiment with my health. Like I thought that was best for me. Just like remove mucus from my body and just like try to stay alkaline. Like shout out to our boy Dr. Sebi. He's like a really sick like natural doctor. Like cures people of like crazy diseases. But like I just kind of started listening to my body more, and like just like I feel like it's so hard, man. These days it's like people promote being vegan. People promote like only eating meat, like carnivore MD.
Yeah.
So like I feel like I was just trying to find a balance, like see what works for me. So I was experimenting with different foods, and I've been incorporating like animal-based products in my diet, and I feel good, you know. So I keep it around, but I like to eat like majority plant-based, like a lot of like fruits and veggies, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like the liver king, right? And he's like, oh, all natural. And then he like recently went on a podcast like, yeah, no, I do steroids all over. And I was like, he's like, you have to. You can't have this body. And I'm like, but they asked you that question 100 times and then thing. And it's like in the end, I think it just like whatever, as you were saying, whatever diet works for you and whatever like thing. But it was really intriguing. But yeah, go for it.
Right.
Yeah.
You dropped the bomb with the announcement of Ice Cube. How did that feel opening for him?
It felt like another day, man. It felt good. Obviously, I was grateful for the experience, but, you know, just a part of the journey, man. Just what we do. So opening up for these people only feels right. Feels like we're just on time.
And it was crazy because, like, I know, like, I don't know Ice Cube, but I know his music and I know Tony Yayo, and I didn't know you had Tony Yayo until just recently. And those are two OGs. Like, these are huge opportunities for
beyond grateful to have done that, you know. It's like old school meets new school, so like I feel like
exactly
it's like the world's kind of just so like true. The old school, like, you know, a guy was like, all right, I want to introduce you to the next big thing.
So did he reach out to you or you reach out to him? How did that connection come
Ice Cube
up?
I reached out to them, and like I said, I just sent them my EPK kit and they liked it, and they're like, all right, start through.
Yeah,
did you have like a heart to heart with Ice Cube? Like, did you
no I didn't get a chance to talk to him. This guy was like moving very militant, but
right,
it was cool, man. I met the other artists there, and I'm just glad to share the stage with him and be there.
Of course. And like, it's crazy because you were saying that you want to hit the next big stage with one of your boys in your first vlog. And you were saying, yeah, Coachella and Rolling Stuff. And I'm like, Rolling Loud. And I'm like, yeah, I want you to be there. But I'm like, that's going from zero to 2000, right? But it would be cool to see on like history, the history stage or something like that. Or like RBC Echo or is it TD Echo?
I don't know. One of the big banks and promoting that one.
But yeah, no, I would love to see you on stage like somewhere locally. Is there anything coming up?
We got a show on 420 at Lee's Palace, which is going to be sick.
Oh, it's a great venue.
Yeah, it's a beautiful
venue. Wait, which one?
Lee's Palace. That's where we had Super Duper Kyle.
Yeah, I love that. That's a good venue. Yeah, I like that. Right on Bloor and Bathurst.
We were just saying, like, that venue, when we saw Super Duper Kyle.
And that's where we met Off the Saint a year ago.
Literally met Off the Saint that day. It's a great place to be. It's also, it's very intimate in the sense that it's not too big, not too small. You can learn, like, the crowd can really vibe with you in that place. So it's a good, you can use it to your advantage because people, I think you can make it break it there in one of those places.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's just like, I don't know how much that venue is. Is that like a 500 person venue or 400?
I can tell you, I'm not too sure.
Yeah, because like the floor can fit a few hundred people, and then it's like the surrounding area, but it's a dope, I like it. Like, I personally love those kind of, like, I saw 24 Karat, it was like, I can't remember, but it's like on like near Queen and John area. Like it was somewhere like in a basement underneath a pub.
There's a lot of venues like that.
Yeah. There's like whatever. And I was like, I loved it because like he was seriously feet away from him and he was dope. Like he just vibe, right? Yeah. He's a vibe. He's like, he's always that type of person that like, and I like same thing with you, just like giving out positive vibes. And that's like the way that you just have to go day by day.
Going back, you know, you talked about like Rolling Loud and like how it's so like such a big stage. Like, I feel like that mindset is like crucial for artists. You got to dream big, man. Like, you got to have those ambitions. And so you got to speak it into existence. Like for that Tony Yayo show, when we went to that event of the Saint, like where we saw you guys, we met you guys, we seen a poster that Tony Yayo was on tour. And then like, and then M was like, yo, you're going to be on this tour. You know, he's like, you're going to get there. Like, just watch, you know, just watch it happen. And we didn't know how it was going to happen. Right. Like literally like we got the call the day of to go to that show. Like, someone dropped out and like you guys can come through.
Wow.
So it's like, you know, us just constantly speaking it into existence, like just saying it, we will. We did, you know? Yeah. So that mindset is so imperative.
It also goes into your resume. Like, you know, you say, oh, I performed in front of, you know, a crowd. And also Tony Ayo was the headliner. Yeah. Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Lou Kel. Like, those are big name artists.
Yeah, you know? Some of the biggest names in hip hop.
Do you have any inspiration? Like, which is like any artist that you're inspired by?
Yeah, for sure. Like J. Cole, I'd say Russ, man, Lil Baby, Black, Trippie Redd. Those are some like
big, those are some good artists.
Yeah. I like those artists. But like sometimes you just hear like one song from one artist, like Connor Price or something, or like just like the occasional, like, you know, mm-hmm. random
yeah,
song
yeah,
you
hear
from random artists. But those are some big inspos for me.
For sure. Are you currently signed with the label?
No. We have our own label.
Okay.
It's called Sidewalks to Billboards.
Oh.
And like cool. that originated from like this, there's this photo of me performing like on Dundas.
Okay.
And, like right behind me you see the big billboards, and so you're like where we are on the sidewalk to where we want to go to the billboards. And like you can apply that to anything in life. Like you start off small and then, you know, you go to like the bigger picture, like the bigger thing.
That's really, I didn't know that. And that's really cool, that you have your own label. You're already kind of getting already established.
We call it S2B.
That's really cool.
Sidewalks S2B. To billboards.
Oh, that's great. Oh, right. I did see that somewhere. But I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, I thought it was like a thumbnail just for like having art. But I realized it's actually your label. Label.
Okay, mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty amazing. Are you looking to sign anyone in the coming months or in the future?
Yeah, man. Like, there's a couple of people like I keep my eye on that like, I'd want to like be in my circle. So for sure, man. We always keep an eye out.
That's amazing.
That really is cool. Yeah. I'm like getting goosebumps thinking about like where you're going to go next, man. It's really
Thanks,
awesome.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Of course. I guess we were talking a little bit earlier, like there's some like unreleased songs. Like you have a bunch of songs that you do on your content and they're unreleased. But is there anyone part of like when you create your content who help you, not content, who make your songs? I guess I meant to say, like, who are the other artists that are, you know, coming up with you that you're working with on your new songs?
I have a new song coming up with Lil Wright soon.
Okay.
I'm gonna drop a new song. I have a song with O'Shawn coming out soon.
Okay.
You guys know Everything O'Shawn?
Mm-hmm. It sounds familiar, but I don't, like...
He's a dope artist here in Toronto. So him, Lil Wright, and yeah, man, that's pretty much, like, what we got going on.
And is there anyone you want to work with coming up?
A whole lot of people, man. Like I've had like lucid dreams of working with artists like Trippie Redd, like Blacks, like Drake and stuff. So like, yeah, I'd love to work with some of these big name people, man.
If I'm you, I'm going on Ticketmaster every single night, and whoever's performing that night, if they drop out, because you never know, they might fill a spot. I'm literally DMing the label or whatever it is, and being like, yo, if anyone gets sick, I'm coming, you know?
Yeah.
And the DM is like 100 people, whoever's coming to Toronto or Echo Beach or Budweiser stage, because you never know.
Yeah,
so like, you're doing everything right, so it's only a matter of time till someone else invites you again on their stage.
But yeah, I mean, aside from that, we appreciate you coming on our podcast. Awesome. We have one question that we ask everyone.
Okay.
I'll leave it up to him to ask it to you. And
like a very general question. But when did you know you made it?
When do you know I made it? I think the Sold Out show was a good,
the first step of the building block.
I was like,
okay,
wow, like, you know, these people are coming to see me, like, they really like what I do. So I think that was like a good, like, we got a good foundation here. But I don't think like we made it yet, you know, like, obviously mm-hmm. the journey continues.
Of course.
But that was a good stepping stone. And I'm excited to see, like, that's only been like, everything's been under 2 years. So I'm excited to see, like, what the next, like, year and a half is going to be like.
Right.
So,
because as you said, you started off during COVID and you were pushing the limits. Now mm-hmm. you got already, you know, multiple different shows that you've had. From what I've seen, your audiences are hype about you. I love that, you know, when I'm looking at the audience, people are screaming, mm-hmm. like they're singing your song, and I'm like, yo, that's dope.
Yeah, it's a good feeling,
and getting that vibe, right? Like that's the biggest thing. And slowly and we see it coming. Like when it was funny because when I first saw you, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, someone I met let's connect. We'll see how it is. But then when I saw your Instagram, I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, this guy got some beats. I'm like, he's not just like any, because don't get me wrong. Every single day, everyone's trying to sell themselves at the end of the day. And it depends how you vibe with it. And, yeah. and we both really vibe with your music. It was kind of crazy you. Because we both it. Have it on our playlist now. Oh, thank and,
you,
and
I'm a follower now. Thank you.
Man. That means the world. But yeah, no, for me, Fugazi has been one of the, like when I heard that, automatic, it really? Clicked. And that's one of my songs right now. It's on my list. It's on my iPhone list right now. And the late, not the label, but the album cover reminds me of what is it called? Reminds me of Kanye's, so I was like, yeah. was that the inspiration, I guess, to that?
Like, yeah, like when we made it, like we seen it, and like after I made it, I was like, oh, like my boy was like, yo, that kind of looks like 808 Heartbreaks. So I was like, yeah, a little bit. I was like, you know what? It is a heartbreak song. So like, it kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
In my books, you made it because you performed, like you said, in front of those people. And I just can't wait to see where you're going to go further, because it's really just up, up and up. And we're going to be there, hopefully, to attend some of your events in the
Thank
city.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah. For really, you said, wait, April
14th. 420. April 20th. I think I'm away, but
he's away.
If I'm not, send me a ticket. I'll come buy a ticket, no problem, and we'll help support you.
Amen. 100%. So we'd like to thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We appreciate your time. We know, we're new as well. This is our 14th podcast. You're on number 14. This is our second season. If you guys don't know, Bond with an 8. Make sure to follow him. The Edible Talk, you guys know where we are, every platform, wherever you want to be, come watch us, cause see us, look at his style. And is there anything you want to say before we head out?
I want to say thank you guys for having me. I want to say God bless everyone watching. I wish you all the best, and keep going, let's get it, keep on rolling.
Amen. Thank you so much, brother.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much. Awesome
beauty. Woo!